Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Hour and Podcast, a show about transformation, mindset transformation. This is Life Coach Myrna Young, and in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of being born in poverty in Guyana to have an abundance in America. And I did it by changing my mindset. Let's go do it. Each week, I bring you guests or one-on-one coaching sessions to help you change your mindset and transform your life. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Myrna Young. And sitting in the guest chair today is Daniel Laporte, member of Oprah's Super Soul 100 group and a number one best-selling author. And today we are going to be speaking on the topic, how to be loving and to live from the heart. Welcome, Daniel.
So excited to have this conversation about love.
Yes, yes, yes. Love and the heart. I can't wait to dive in. Awesome. All right. So let me give you guys a short bio on Daniel. Daniel Laporte needs a little introduction. Oprah Winfrey has said she is uniquely connecting the world together with a spiritual energy that matters, while Marianne Williamson has called her a bright light in the modern priestesshood. As the founder of DanielLaporte.com, ranked by Forbes as one of the top 100 websites for women and visited by millions of people each month, Daniel is one of the most critically acclaimed spiritual thought leaders of our time. Glad to share her with you guys. With her highly anticipated new book, How to Be Loving as Your Heart is Breaking Open and The World is Waking Up, releasing October 11, 2022, Daniel has written the modern day manifesto on how to uncondition your mind from all kinds of social programming, tap into the intelligence of the heart, and elevate your life through the quality of your own thoughts. Well, that's what we do here on this show. we transform thoughts, right? I'm loving this. I'm very excited for my conversation, especially since she comes so highly recommended. All right, Danielle, as we start off, I always like to give the audience a little background into your story. So share us your journey from, by making love a priority in your life. How did that come about?
Oh, it's a lot. It's lifetimes. My life used to be led by the question, how do I want to feel? And now the question is, what do I want to embody? Mm-hmm. And the journey there was me realizing that even if I was having a bad day and wasn't in a state of happiness, wasn't feeling like the way I wanted to feel, I still felt connected to something higher and more meaningful. But really the light bulb was when I realized that like I could still be useful to my friends, even if I was like, in the dark night of my soul. And then it occurred to me like maybe this whole happiness thing isn't the end game. It's important, but I don't think it's the evolutionary driver, And I want to be useful and connected and loving, no matter what's going on with me emotionally, no matter what's going on with the other person, no matter what's going on in the world. And that requires like a higher vibration. And, lots of mystics talk about love, of course, being a state of consciousness. But what that brings us to is like, love is not a feeling. Love is a higher vibration that I want to embody. So that's the sort of like inner before and after of my spiritual journey, from how do you want to feel? Mm-hmm. Valuable. You should ask yourself that question, but don't stop there, to What is it that you want to embody? What do you want to be all of the time, no matter what?
Yeah. Well, it's very hard. They always say that, you know, that happiness is not an external thing. You know, it comes from inside. And even if you are, you know, you have an external locus of control, which is basically where your happiness depends on other people's circumstances and things, it's only going to be temporary, because those things can actually continue for too long, which is why they say that your happiness has to come from inside. And that means that whatever is going on outside is not going to bother you. But it's extremely, extremely hard to do. You almost have to be like an enlightened being in order to live that way.
Yeah. Everybody's getting there. I mean, the Zen Buddhist philosophy is that everybody's enlightened. We just have forgotten.
Right, right. Yes. We don't operate in it because we've forgotten. True, true, true. We're probably born that way and then we move off from it. Right. But yeah. Okay. So that was your journey into, you wanted to feel good all the time. You wanted to embody, you know, before we started the recording, you talked about gratitude, big, big thing, you know? Right. So yes, I love that. I love that, you know, loving and heart and, you know, gratitude and vibration. You talked about vibration. You know, I am, you know, Dwayne Dyer talked about vibration, you know, Abraham Hicks talks about vibration. And I, you know, I watch my vibrations by, you know, according to Dwayne Dyer, you know, if you feel good and you've got to reach for those good feelings, then you are going to, you know, your vibration is going to be, very good. So how did you, you know, how did you, bridge that? You know, you want to feel good and you want to feel good all the time. You know, what kind of work did you do to get into, you know, making sure your vibration is good and all that?
Well, it's not so much now that I want to feel good all the time. I mean, of course I want to be up. I want to feel useful. Who wants to suffer? I don't want to suffer.
Right.
But it's a place of, even if you are suffering and you're not feeling good, you're in a state of acceptance with it. It's like, okay, this is what's happening. I'm going to love myself through this. I created this. I'm not going to push it away. I'm going to bring it into my heart. I'm going to have space for it. I'm going to be more gentle with it. I'm going to speak to myself more lovingly. So that gets back to, you know, quote, I can feel good no matter what. It's really, I can be at peace even in chaos. But you're more specifically to your question about how to get there. Well, I think, you know, it's a lifelong journey, but certainly big challenges, questioning if I, you know, am I in the right career? Is this the faith that I should be holding? Relationships, how I turn to God, all of that kind of identity shakeup stuff has happened to me and for me. And that has, you know, we all know that, like, it's our suffering that leads us to meaningfulness, more purpose. So there's those challenging circumstances. And then there's just dedication. Like, I want to know truth. I want to be love no matter what. I'm committed. My commitment doesn't mean it's always easy, but like, I do the things that I know have me be more compassionate and more forgiving. And those things are ancient tools that have been around for a long, long time. It's contemplation. It's a prayer practice. It's, you know, sifting through all of the different practices and types of meditation until I found the kind of meditation practice that I actually wanted to do that actually had me feel like energized and lit up. And there's all that. There's the tools. And those tools just help me be much more gentle with myself and others.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You unpacked the mouthful there. Yeah. I love when you said that, you know, if you're suffering, you're attracted it, don't push it away. That's powerful. Yeah. That's powerful right there. Living with acceptance. Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. You know, I've actually, I'm not there yet, but I know that acceptance is very important, and it's very important to accept your loved ones, because a lot of times we get into relationships and we want to change people and we don't accept them. But yeah, talking about accepting your suffering, that is deep. That is good. I love that. Yeah. So, all right. So one of the questions I have here, because we're talking about the heart, is how do we tap into the intelligence of the heart? And before you answer that question, one of the most powerful books that I've read is The Alchemist. And one of the things about The Alchemist is that the whole book is about listening to your heart. And, until then, we were always, always in the frame of mind that you're supposed to listen to your gut. You know, the gut is what tells you, but listening to your heart, that's what the whole book is about. The heart can guide you. So
this is a great point about
how we tap into the intelligence of the heart. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. This is important to make that distinction between gut and heart, because gut is more instinct. It's essential to have, the gut is going to say, run from danger. That's good. This is basic survival stuff. But we don't want to be in that survival mode every day. We want to be in a higher state. So just like move it on up the chakra system, move it on up your body, move into the heart. And that loving center that I think, we can get into the poetics of love and all of that, but everybody knows on a cellular, psychological level what love is and what it feels like to be connected to soul, to be connected to others, to be giving and receiving loving kindness. Like, we know, we just have to be still and we have to like intend to express all that in the heart space, in love, in the heart chakra, and higher consciousness. There's no fear. It's presence. It's like, I'm okay right now. Everybody listening right now, are you okay right now? Of course you are. Right now, right now. Just talking about this microsecond and the next microsecond. And you just build those. Yes, I'm good right now. Okay. Just keep appreciating your safety, your wellness, your goodness, just in this moment. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't have to worry about the rent. Not right this moment. And you move into that gentleness that calms down your nervous system, both your parasympathetic and your central nervous system. When your nervous system is calmer, you think more clearly. You're not all panicked and jacked up with anxiety. And then you make more loving choices. More loving choices, which all comes from, quality of thought, which, you reference Wayne Dyer. Dyer had a lot to say about the thoughts we think.
Yeah, right. The quality of thought. Yeah. So yeah, that's amazing. Now, I want to circle back to something. You said that everybody knows what it's like to give and receive love. Do you think that everybody knows that? Because there's a lot of people that don't love themselves. And I believe that if you don't love yourself, you actually can't give and receive love. So,
okay. There's two things in there.
Okay.
I think in our depths, we do know love. And I think to get to the depths, like we have to plumb those depths. You got to be still. You got to get yourself in nature. You've got to ask those questions. It's in there. The truth is in there. Is it buried? Absolutely. Do we doubt it? Do we have lots of so-called evidence from how we're raised and society that this is not a loving place to be? Totally. But it's, the truth is eternal. It's in there. You're going to find it. You just got to look for it. Okay. Loving other people and loving yourself. Yeah. I've thought about this very specifically for a while because, in our self-help space, there's that theory. It's like, don't fall in love with someone who doesn't love yourself because they're not going to love you properly. Or how can you know love if you don't feel for yourself? I think it's half true.
Okay. Because, all right, let's dive in.
Yes, all right, because okay. if we're all one, if we all come from the same source and we're all connected, then does it really matter if I'm loving myself first or if I'm loving you first? And I've witnessed people who clearly had, you know, what you would just say on a surface level, self-esteem issues, broken, not loving themselves. Mm-hmm. And I have seen them be loving, learn to love someone in their community, learn to love the person who abandoned them. And it changed their whole way of living.
That's obviously with a lot of work, right? Like digging in and plumbing it out, right?
Yeah. Or
okay.
Divinity does, it is the flashes of inspiration, I think, sometimes just like in a crisis, you just, oh my gosh, this love comes out of you. It's like, you know, the family reunion and you've had this grievance and it's like, it can just be a moment of just like, ah, oh, I'm going to let it go. And the love is working you and you soften and you expand.
I've always wanted to do composting. I see my brother doing it, but I've always thought it was just too much work. Then I got a Lomi. Lomi allows me to turn my food scraps into dirt with the push of a button. Lomi is a countertop electric composter that turns scraps to dirt in under 4 hours in express mode. There's no smell when it runs, and it's really quiet. My plants took a beating from Hurricane Ian, so I've been using the grow mode in my Lomi to get composting dirt for my plants. The grow mode takes only 24 hours. The beautiful thing about this is that it allows me to be eco-friendly. Since I got my Lomi, I throw out way less garbage. That means it's not going into landfills and producing methane gas. Instead, I turn my waste into nutrient-rich dirt that I feed to my plants. If you want to start making a positive environmental impact or just want to make cleanup after dinner that much easier, Lomi is perfect for you. Head to lomi.com/transform and use promo code TRANSFORM to get $50 off your Lomi. That's $50 off when you head to lomi.com/transform and use promo code TRANSFORM at checkout. Food waste is gross. Lomi is your solution. With the holidays just around the corner, Lomi makes the perfect gift for someone on your shopping list. This episode is being sponsored by Bombas. Bombas' mission is simple. Make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you're also giving to someone in need. Bombas designed your socks, shirts, and underwear to be the clothes you can't wait to put on every day. Everything they make is soft, seamless, tagless, and has a cozy feel. Bombas no-show socks are designed for comfort while being specifically engineered to never fall down. So let your ankles be free to soak up the sunlight. The t-shirts are made with thoughtful design features like invisible seams, soft fabrics, and a perfect weight so they just hang right. Bombas underwear is so breathable and fits so well, it feels like you're wearing nothing at all. In a good way, of course. And did you know socks, underwear, and t-shirts are the three most requested clothing items at homeless shelters? That's why Bombas donates one for every item you buy. So far, Bombas customers like you have donated over 50 million items of essential clothing. Go to bombas.com and use code TRANSFORM for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/transform and use code TRANSFORM at checkout. This song is Happy Again by Eric Enkelhart. Download on Spotify.
then the next decision, the next, you know, if you can have a loving thought about someone else, mm-hmm. you're going to start to think a little more loving for yourself. So I think it's more like an infinity loop instead of a you, me, you, me, you, me. It's like, oh, some of me, some of you, it's an us. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's good. So, all right. So I don't know if I remember the answer to the question. So how do we tap into the intelligence of the heart? Is it through like meditation or how do we do it?
Yeah, it's the stuff. It's the practices. It's first, you got to want it. Do you want to sleep through the night? Do you want to be peaceful? Do you want to have more intimate conversations? You want to like know your real power? Awesome. Great. There are some things you can do. They've been around for a long time. Find a meditation practice that works for you. Not one where you sit down on the meditation cushion and you hate being there and it's grueling and you don't feel lit up or expanded. It's like, you know, forget it. That's right. Just like new age punishment. Find a prayer practice that works for you. Who are you talking to? When are you moving into prayer? Is it through journaling? Is it heart-centering prayer? Whatever your faith is. Mm-hmm. And time for stillness. I mean, our society is obsessed with being productive mm-hmm. and it pulls us away from our wisdom. You need to be still to hear your higher guidance. If you are always moving, you are going to get confused information. So stillness could be as simple as you got your 15 minutes in the morning before anybody else in your house wakes up. Or it's, you know, for those of us who've done yoga, the last pose, doesn't matter how sweaty and bendy your yoga class was, the last pose is always corpse pose. You just lie there. It's shavasana. And people think, oh, this is my break. And it is a break after the end of a class. But actually that pose, the great yoga teachers will tell you like everything is moving towards that stillness so that you get to integrate all the work you did with your body and your mind. So the end of the day, just like even just it can be as your head hits the pillow. What'd you learn today? Who'd you love? How did you get a little more kind? What are you grateful for? That's integrating the lessons of the day. And then you don't need to repeat the same lessons, ideally, tomorrow. Yeah, you start fresh. Yeah. So the practices.
Okay. So that's amazing. All right. So when you're in the meditation, you know, yeah, because I'm a meditator as well.
What's your meditation practice?
Well, my meditation practice is, you know, sitting and concentrating on the breath, right? And it's moved from, you know, just trying to be still and concentrating on the breath to now I do sometimes, every day I do a walking meditation because I walk in the park. And there's a wooded area that I walk through. And when I'm in there, I'm talking to God and I am, you know, kind of like visualizing some of the things. So now I do a working meditation, a meditation where not just your stillness, but I am trying to bring into my experience the things that I want, that kind of thing. Put that way. So, what do you think of that?
I have a very similar practice. So for me, it's, I would use that term. It's more of a working meditation. Like there's lots of prayer in my life. There's definitely breath work for sure. Mm-hmm. I live by the ocean. I walk the seawall almost every day. Nice. And I work with color and particular visuals. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly focused on being of service and healing. And I know that as I'm doing that, doing the work to, you know, just get closer to God, be more aware. Mm-hmm. I'm getting healed as well.
Yeah. And that's kind of thing. Yeah. Healing. Yeah. I even work, you know, with the light from the sun.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So I don't necessarily sit on my meditation cushion, even though I was doing that because I read a meditation book And he just said to sit there. And I started out with the meditation cushion, but you're right. It is like punishment because, you know, I did it really well for maybe like 2 weeks or something. And then after that, it was old.
Well, the point you bring up the sun about the sun is very powerful. So my belief, and this is, you know, through some research into mysticism, is the soul is really the sun is really the symbol, if not the embodiment, of the collective soul. And then in all the meditations that I've designed, so I work with an energy healer that I've been with for many years. We co-create all of these meditation experiences, you know, which is part of my offering. And we are always, almost every meditation begins with seeing this golden light, this sun-like orb above you.
Right.
And you are, and this is an important part for me, mm-hmm. is that is the symbol, the visual of your soul, your vastness, and that your only job really is to just bask in that light. Right. Like you don't have to reach for that light. You don't even have to amplify that light.
Right,
just like the light, the love, the God source is always trying to find you. It wants to get into every thought and every crevice. Just slow down, set your intention. I'm going to be aligned today. I'm going for this walk. And you step into it and you just receive the guidance.
If you're a person who enjoys wearing nice apparel with a positive message like rest in peace, negative thinking, then Fly Pup is the brand for you. Fly Pup statement is start the day with self-belief. Fly Pup is an acronym that means fearless, loving, intelligent, peaceful, empowering phenom. Our apparel is unisex. We offer sizes extra small to 5XL in tees and hoodies. Get yours today while supplies last. All our sweatshirts and hoodies are made with 100% relaxed cotton and organic and eco-friendly materials. Visit flypup.shop today. They have Black Friday sales starting right now. Radio and podcast listeners get an extra 20% off the sales price with coupon code JUSTBELIEVE. We look forward to you becoming a part of the Fly Pup family. Follow us on Instagram at FLI_.PEP. That website again is www.FLIPEP.SHOP. If you would like to make a statement with your clothes or like graphic hoodies, Beyond the Clout is the shop for you. As a small Black-owned business, it is their goal to spread a message of freedom of expression. Their mission is to make clothes that express a non-conforming attitude towards society. Their designs are their way of making it easy to be visible while also saying, we're Beyond the Clout. Be bold. Speak through your clothing. Visit beyondtheclout.com. Save 10% when you sign up for text alerts. That website again is beyondtheclout.com.
beautiful. It's beautiful. All right. Yeah. Like I said, I'm in the space, like you said, the self-improvement space, and I'm in the space with, and I know that meditation works for me because one of the byproducts of meditation is that you don't get upset very often and you're always in a calm space. And, you know, like you're talking about, you know, if you're feeling the love and if you're feeling good on the inside, then, you know, the circumstances outside, you know, it does bother me once in a while. But as soon as I feel that I'm being pulled in that direction, because I'm in tune with my body, and I know when I have some stressors going on, I try to get out of that space very quickly, because I know that that is the space that's attracting, you know, all the negative energy and the bad things. But, you know, I'm not into the higher consciousness enough that it doesn't come. It comes once in a while, but most of the time I live in the space of peace and quiet and, you know, harmony and positive thoughts and all that. And mainly because I'm soaking in nature every day for about an hour with the sun. I live in Florida. I get sun, you know, 12 months in a year.
What a gift. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get
that's
it.
Amazing.
Nature is the healer.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
Anybody
I also
to
am
me...
not too far from the beach, but I much prefer walking in the park than going to the beach. You know, I used to, once in a while I would do my meditation on the beach, but I don't go there very often anymore. But yeah, I'm only 7 minutes away from the beach where I'm at. So I used to do that, but I really do it anymore because I much prefer the park. All right, so let's transition to love. All right. So you know, how do we use the intelligence of love, which is the highest form of spirituality, to attract what we truly want? You know, I was just saying that when I'm meditating, I'm trying to attract the things that I want. You know, I do like a working meditation, as you say, and not just sitting, you know, when you focus on your breath, it's a way to listen to, you know, maybe inspiration coming into you, but I don't even have to do that. My inspiration comes, you know, like when I wake up in the morning or something. Mm-hmm. So I don't even have to sit in meditation. Mm-hmm. You know, my inspiration comes and according to Dwayne Dwyer and all the other people, that's usually the time when it comes. And that's where mine comes. It, you know, when I sit on my meditation cushion, you know, I don't get no inspiration.
I get that. Yeah.
So yeah, how do we use love to attract? Because that's actually the first time I've heard that part. Right.
Okay, let's talk about manifesting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Manifesting is a technology. You come up with a visual, you think it through every day, you see it, feel it, taste it, you really like kind of bring it to life. And you just keep watering it. Anybody can use the basic science of manifesting. You don't have to be enlightened. You don't have to be a good person. You don't have to have great intentions. If you want the car, you think about it enough, you probably get the car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What I'm interested in is what I would call heart-centered manifesting, because I think ego-centered manifesting has really gotten a lot of us into a lot of trouble, and it's not very fulfilling ultimately. So it's like a heart-centered vision comes from a place of knowing that your happiness matters to me, that we all come from the same source. So if I get the car, how is that going to be of benefit or harmful to others? So what's your vision got to do with everybody else? That's a really basic, great question to ask. How does your fulfillment lead to the fulfillment of others? Or how does it take from others? Now, my belief is that when we have a heart-centered vision, and you can still want all the same things, you can still want the car and the relationship and the good butt and the money and whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But when it's on behalf of being of service, I think the soul is going to be, is going to help lead you to more fulfillment. So when you get the car, let's just keep using that example. It's maybe you're doing some meals on wheels, or maybe it's just that you're happier, more relaxed, and you're better in your community. Maybe that car actually helps you be a more chill, loving mother, whatever it is. Somehow your happiness is kind of spilling over. Whereas if that was an ego goal to just get the car, you're going to get the car and you're going to want the next thing. There's actual no lasting fulfillment. It's like, you're going to want a better car. You're going to need the car and you're going to need the handbag. You're going to need the handbag and you're going to need the likes on Instagram, on and on. Mm-hmm. Heart-centered, you relax when it comes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, that's actually pretty good. Right. Because, you know, they always say that once you meet one goal, then you're only satisfied for your right a short period of time. And then you want the next thing. And we all know, you know, the whole world is like that. So, but what you've just done is that you have qualified that by saying that you don't go on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing if the thing that you're asking for benefits mankind or serves mankind. Now, when I do my my work, I call it energy work. Let's say you're asking for a monetary value, right? You're asking for something monetary. Then, you know, you're saying that once you have this money, then you will give back to the kingdom by either giving some away to your church or you giving something, you know, but you're right. You're talking about a physical thing like a car. If you're asking for a car, how is that going to benefit, you know, other people? So let's talk about the different things, you know. We all know, in fact, I'm reading a book right now by Dr. Joe Vitale, and he's talking about ways to attract money, right? And he has like 9 principles, you know, and gratitude, you know, given, you know, gratitude, given, all those type of things that you, in order for you to attract it, you've got to be thinking of serving with it kind of thing, you know? So let's dissect the two. You're asking for money, which can serve the kingdom of God, or you're asking for a house, which a lot of people want, or a car. Break that down for us.
Well, what Joe's talking about is raising your energy. Like being a match for what you want.
Right.
So it's like energy follows thought. Energy follows thought. Like attracts like. So get yourself in a state of gratitude and abundance, and you will attract more reasons to be gratitude. You will bring in that abundance. Where it gets more nuanced is, are you wanting things because it's a way for you to prove your worth even to God? I mean, that was how I used to pray. It's like, God, if I do all of these spiritual things and I'm a good person, do I get what I want? And that's kind of messed up. It's like the intention, there's something pure in there, which is like, I do want to serve and I do feel connected to other people. But my striving, my manifesting, whether it's cars, money, or a house, has to come from this place of like, I'm celebrating my life. I get to be happy and I get to be joyful because I'm a child of God. As opposed to, I want this external validation that I am worthy, that I am capable, that I am intelligent, that I am lovable, all of those things. It's a very different energy. So you can go after the same thing. The question is, what's the intention and what's the energy behind the car, the house, the money, the job? And also, I do think this is getting more esoteric, but I do think karma plays a role. So maybe your soul has set it out for you this life that you're not going to be a millionaire, that you're going to learn about, you know, you're going to be blessed with like an incredible family and deep love. And you're going to learn about the riches of the human spirit, and that's expanding. And that is your soul growing. And so the soul might put on a few little guardrails for you. Like, I don't believe this is a common phrase in the self-help space of just like, you can have anything you want. Well, you can have a lot. I don't know that we can all have what we want. We have different gifts. We have different talents. We have different assignments from the soul. However, I think love and purposefulness and joy is available to everybody, no matter what. And that's the evolutionary journey. No matter what the circumstances, mm-hmm. we can find meaning in being alive. And that meaningfulness is where that deep, deep, deep happiness is.
Mm, yes, that's awesome. All right. So let's say that we are feeling love, because, you know, that's also something that I do, you know, open up your heart by feeling mm-hmm. love for, you know, your children, your spouse, God. Mm-hmm. And once you open up your heart like a flower, mm-hmm. then you're able to, I guess, be in that space where you can manifest. So can you expand on that? What happens when you are feeling love? What kind of energy are we putting out, and how does that work for us?
Well, this goes back to the universal principle that like attracts like. Mm-hmm. So everybody knows, like, you know, the most basic example is you're in the, you know, you're in a meeting and somebody walks in and they're in a bad mood, but they haven't said anything.
Right.
But you can tell, and it's not just,
yeah.
it's mm-hmm. not just their body language or the look on their face. You feel it.
You feel it.
And yeah. we don't give credit enough to that, our sensing capacity of just like, you are an energy being sensing someone else's energy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you can sense love. You can sense generosity. You can sense kindness. Mm-hmm. When you are that, when you are giving that, when you give someone a break, when you decide to breathe instead of be agitated or judgmental in a conversation, when you hope that someone has it easier than you, I mean, that's real love. That's mercy. Mm-hmm. You're radiating that. You're emanating that. And it's going to come out practically. It comes out in your words. It comes out in your choices. It comes out in your body language and your life falls into place around that. That's
beautiful.
The way yeah. I think it works. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Right, right. Yes. I love that. Good example about the negative energy. yeah. Because you can definitely feel it. And then it is the same thing with the positive energy, you know? I mean, I've been at church where people say to me, oh, I love your energy, you know? And people say that to me all the time. And I'm thinking, wow. Probably because I'm very bubbly and effervescent, but yeah, you can feel negative energy and you can also feel positive energy mm-hmm. and you can feel love, like you said. Yeah. You mm-hmm. know, when someone loves you, it's just in the mm-hmm. air. It's yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think it's part of our aura as well. I mean, even when I'm in the park and somebody walks by me and I smell their perfume or something, I'm conscious of the fact that, you know, we've got an energy field around us that's yes. called our aura. And, you know, and that's also very important. Yes. It's awesome.
Yes.
All right.
And the aura gets filled with our thoughts. So this is a possibly helpful visual. It's like, if everybody just imagine you had this big energy field around you, this bubble, mm-hmm. which is the auric field. And your thoughts are like little tiny bubbles in the big bubble. So, and because like attracts like, one negative thought, the next negative thought you have is going to go latch onto that. And then you've got this little cloud in your big auric bubble.
Right.
So you want to be having as many truly high vibration thoughts, what I would just call loving thoughts, just loving thoughts. Nice. As possible, because that you are carrying that with you wherever you go, and it's a magnet.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Awesome. Awesome. All right. So why is living from your heart center the best way to live in love? This is one of the questions I have here.
you want to be fulfilled, happy, at peace, or not. It's totally up to you. I think it's a timely question in that I think it's really time for us, and all this division that we're in and all the polarization and really the agony in the world. It's time for us to let love be the game changer that we know it is. We know love changes everything. We know how it changes our lives and our relationships and our businesses. We've all had those experiences. We've read them. We want them. Let's get really actually wise about things. So what does love look like in politics? Very different than it looks like now. What does love look like in an educational system? Very different than our current educational system that really just is beating the originality out of children. It's you know, our educational system is not about acceptance and celebration of people. It's about, well, I think it's about punishment, really. There's a right answer, there's a wrong answer. And so, yeah, what would love, or let me reverse it. What would all these different areas of society look like if love designed it? What would your family plan? What would your family holiday look like? What would your family dinners look like? What would your own way of like working out or spending your day look like if the intention was we're going to be as loving as possible? And really, really that brings us to the question of like, well, what is love? Love is inclusiveness. I got room for my shadow and I got room for my light. I've got room for your bad behavior. I've got room for your genius. It's like, I've got space. I'm big. I'm spacious. I'm loving. What's really here?
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Love is exclusive. You know, a lot of people just use love for, like I did a minute ago, we just use love for, you know, to talk about our family or spouses or children, God. But yeah, if you, you know, you talk about a community, you know, I live in an HOA community. Is the HOA loving me? No. They're trying to destroy me when they have a possibility, when they have a chance. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, a love in actions, inclusiveness. Yeah, you're in Canada, I'm in America. Race relations are horrible in America because nobody's loving each other. It's amazing, you know? Mm-hmm. I was telling you that I'm also Canadian. And yes, you know, when you're in Canada, you know, race is not a big issue, whether it's covert or overt or whatever they call it. It's not in your face, you know. And but yeah,
well, you know, with Canada,
life and, you know, loving each other and coexisting and all that. So yeah, love is and I see why everybody is talking about, you know, your message, whether it's Oprah or Marianne, because yes, it's a great message about, you know, inclusion and love and heart-centered and, you know, vibrations and positivity and all those good stuff.
What the world needs now. Love, yeah. Sweat, love. Yeah. It's time. Like that, it's time. What
the world needs now.
Yeah. I think it was, what was her name? Dionne Warwick. Is that a Dionne Warwick song?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. After, yeah. I don't remember who it was, but that's an old song.
Yeah. That's way back. That's my 50s. Windsor, Detroit coming out.
And you still need it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So let's talk about your book. It's an awesome title. How to Be Loving as Your Heart is Breaking Open and the World is Waking Up. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your book. Why did you write it? What do you want readers to walk away with after reading? And how can, you know, listeners pick up a copy of it?
This is what I want to have happen. I want to get a gazillion emails for years of people telling me things like, I listened to or I read How to Be Loving and I forgave my mother. Wow. Or I speak more gently to myself. Yeah. Or I got over this heartbreak. Or I finally started asking my neighbor what they need. I want to hear, you know, like the visual I have is just like infinite little points of light of loving experiences.
That's nice.
Yeah. Which is really, you know, a movement of gentleness. It's a good
and it will probably happen because you set that intention.
May it be so. Yeah. And why did I write it? I wrote it because, well, it's my first book in 5 years. Lots of people around the book are saying, wow, this is so timely. Did you like, you know, the world was going to fall apart? I did not know the world was going to be in the state that it was in. So I'll just chalk that.
Well, you're connected to source. Identity. So you don't even know what's been downloaded. Yes.
Yeah.
Tell you. Yes,
it's on time. Yeah.
What was that?
It's on time, I think. Yes.
Yeah, it is. It is on time, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Now, part of the title is Once Your Heart is Breaking Open. So, and you said something a minute ago about, you know, your heart is breaking, but you're still loving yourself. Is that part of it? People that have been, that they have a broken heart, how to still love themselves? Is that?
I think that's in reference to, we think we're falling apart when we're heartbroken, whether it's like the state of our community or an ending relationship, or we get canned from a job, and you're not actually breaking, you're expanding. Mm-hmm. All that heartbreak is showing you what you're made of. It's showing you where all the love, the real love is in your life, how capable you are. So it's, you know, we've heard this many times, but it's like, it's not an, a spiritual emergency. It's a spiritual emergence. And I think we would tend to finish the sentence of when the world is falling apart. And I don't think the world is falling apart. I think lots of structures are coming down. Lots of shadow is rising to the surface to be seen, so it can be healed and integrated. It's like, huh, there's that ignorance that people have held in their pockets. Okay, well, let's just see everybody's bad behavior now. And we can love it into maturity. It's time to grow up. So the world is, there's some crumbling, but it's really an evolution. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good word. Yes. We're all evolving. And yeah, from where I sit, you know, it's getting worse. But, you know, you're embodying the goodness of people and the love and there needs to be more messages like this, because basically, yeah, someone's picking up the book and reading it and it comes to their consciousness, right? Mm-hmm, hate, mm-hmm, don't hate, love, right? Mm-hmm, your heart, right? You know, operate from your heart, because your heart is always about love. It's, you know, you don't have to be about hate.
Well, and it's the intelligence. Like, we all want the right answer. You know, as Oprah would say, like, what's the next right step? Mm-hmm. It's not the gut that's going to give you the next right step necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's not someone outside of yourself. It's love is going to give you the strategy for you being well and everybody else being well. That's the inclusiveness. It's like, it's not just about you being safe. Love is going to say, okay, here's the path where we're all safe. Here's the path where we all get acknowledged. Here's a scenario where everybody is at the table. That's the intelligence of the heart.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
The ego can be pretty silly and dumb and divisive. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Awesome. All right. So what's your website and how can people, obviously the book is on Amazon. So, but, what's your website? Are you in social media? What's your social media handles?
DanielleLaporte.com. I'm Danielle Laporte on Instagram. I'm there all the time. I have a membership, beautiful membership program called Heart Centered Membership. It's like a spiritual support system. And we also have a program called the Heart Centered Leadership Program, where I've got this really gorgeous curriculum, workshops, conversation starters for coaches and HR directors and communitarians. So it's being used at really high levels of business. It's being used in yoga studios, all about virtue, really. Yeah.
All right. And all these can be found on your website, DanielleLaporte.com.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. I saw that in your bio, that it's a top website, the top 100 website for women. I love it. So you've got some curriculum for coaches and spiritual leaders too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right? Yes. Heart Center Leadership Program.
Yes. I love it. Danielle, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I mean, you're very zen. You came on with this calm aura about you. So that's great. So yes, excellent conversation. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Myrna.
Thank you so much for bringing our attention to the heart and to love. Hey, you know, this is definitely what the world needs now. So I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, guys, thank you for tuning in to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I love bringing you quality guests like Danielle here. Definitely go and pick up a copy of her book. Head over to her website, daniellelaporte.com, and just grab, you know, what she's offering, because it is, you know, you don't want to be, you know, happy for a season or for a minute. You want to make happiness and fulfillment something that you embody. That's a good word. You know, Daniel said that, you know, something that you embody. So this is how you can learn how to do that if you're not there yet. You know, I try to immerse myself in it. You know, I have a morning routine where I meditate and I walk and, you know, and I pray and I talk to God, and all these things helps me in what I do on the show, what I do with people that I come in contact with. So it's a great place to be. So, you know, I'm very grateful that, you know, I can share Danielle with you. So definitely go pick up a copy of her book and head over to her website. A transcript of my conversation with Danielle will be on the show page, which is blog.myhelps.us. And I'm going to link out to her book and her website and, you know, her coaching program. So all you got to do is go in there and click on it. So I do appreciate you guys. I do appreciate you tuning in and definitely supporting the show. Danielle, as we wrap up, any last words?
Myrna, you're a beautiful soul. This was really delicious. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Fellow Canadians.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I work on my soul. I work on my light.
I see that.
So that's amazing. All right, guys. But listen, thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, namaste.